What stories did you hear growing up? As a child, I grew up hearing stories, my dad telling stories of when he went to school in Nashville, Tennessee, and some of his adventures in college. He was the first in his family to go to college, and there was no money for him, the son of a preacher, but he worked. He worked in a fraternity house, and he worked bussing tables, and because he bussed tables that provided room and board, and because he did other jobs around the campus, that helped pay toward his tuition, and there was no car. There was no car, and he got from Jackson, Georgia, up to Knoxville, Tennessee by thumbing a ride, and he made it work. And I would think about that story later, how hard he worked. And there were times when I wanted to give up. And I thought about him and how hard it was for him. And did you hear stories like that growing up? Stories of when I went to school, it was 2 miles uphill both ways. We tell those stories to our children so that they'll remember them in the hard times and appreciate what they have, but also in hopes that it will encourage them when times are hard to never give up, to keep on trying. I remember when the boys were arguing and telling the story of dinner table at my parents' house when we were growing up, and there were times when my sister would start laughing, and then I would start laughing, and then she would start laughing even more, which made me laugh. And so for no good reason, we would start laughing and keep laughing, and it would just drive my parents crazy until finally they would send us out away from the table because all we could do was laugh. And I would tell that story to my boys sometimes after they argued, maybe not right away. I wanted them to understand that there can be bonds in the family that are just not like any other bonds, and that there are times when we laugh and times when we cry and do this with one another. That's part of our story. Sometimes we choose stories to tell after a death, and we sit around the table and we talk about grandmother or grandfather, or someone will tell a story and someone will say, "Oh, but don't forget the time when." We want to remember. And sometimes we tell a story because we know the person needs to hear that story to help them through a situation. You've got a friend who's been trying to sell their house for 6 months, and they're so frustrated, and you tell the story of when you had a difficult time in the real estate market, and you've got a coworker who's having a problem at home with a child, and you share your own story of how you got through a similar situation. Sometimes the stories we tell have a purpose. I think that's part of why we have four Gospels. Our best guess is that Mark was written first. And the reason we think it was written first is because it looks like both Matthew and Luke copied Mark and added stories. Stories that maybe they were sitting around the table and thinking, "Oh, I can't believe you left out the story of walking on water. Oh, I can't believe you left out the story of Zacchaeus." But some of them were thinking back. These were things that Jesus said and did that my church family needs to hear. And we see some of that in Luke. Because Luke, there's almost a pattern to the stories that he's adding to Mark. He adds stories about the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that speaks through Mary when she sings that wonderful Magnificat. It's the Holy Spirit that is in Elizabeth and makes John the Baptist in her womb leap at the presence of the unborn Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit that speaks through Zechariah, speaks a word of God's salvation, that this child would be a light to the Gentiles. The Holy Spirit is there at Jesus' baptism when he prays. It's the Holy Spirit that leads Jesus into the wilderness when Luke tells the story. And when Luke tells the story of Jesus preaching in his hometown, he includes that part about the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Jesus opens the scroll of Isaiah and reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me and sends me to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim that this is the year of the Lord's favor. This is the Jubilee year." Gracious words, they say. The people of Nazareth, they loved hearing it, but my guess is that Luke's church family really needed to hear that about the Holy Spirit and about Jesus' purpose, Jesus' mission statement. Luke tweaks that bit of the story as well. In Mark and Matthew, Jesus doesn't go to his hometown until the middle of the gospel, but Luke puts it right at the beginning. He wants that everything we read in this story of Jesus, he wants us to read it through this lens of Jesus' words in his hometown. As we read through the story of Jesus that Luke tells in the next few weeks, we'll see the Holy Spirit at work, and we'll see women who have faith. Because Luke's church family needs to hear that it wasn't just men who had faith. We'll hear stories of a tax collector named Zacchaeus who comes out of the tree. Because in Luke's church family, maybe there are some people who are tax collectors who need to hear that salvation is coming to their house too. We'll hear stories of the poor and the oppressed and healings. We'll hear stories of the faith of those who were outsiders, sinners, and Jesus eating with them. Because Luke's church family especially needs to hear those stories. Later, when Luke tells the story of the church in the book of Acts, he continues the story of Jesus with the story of Acts, that Holy Spirit will come in unusual places. It'll come in the home of Cornelius, a Gentile. And that's how they'll know. That's how they'll know that this Jesus is not only here to bring salvation for the Jews, but also salvation for the Gentiles. And Luke, who travels with Paul, knows that everywhere that Paul goes, somebody's going to follow behind and say to these new Christian Gentiles that to be a Christian, to be a follower of Jesus, you have to be circumcised, you have to become a Jew, you have to follow all of the law. And they'll say words like, "Jesus was a Jew, Jesus followed the law." That means you also have to follow all the law if you want to follow Jesus. And there'll be an answer in the Gospel of Luke. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that's providing evidence that Gentiles are welcome. It's that Holy Spirit that was there with Jesus leading him through ministry that is leading us today. And maybe our church is not a rich church. Maybe our church is full of outcasts. Maybe our church is full of people that everybody else looks at and question whether God even cares for them, they think. But they can see the Holy Spirit at work in them. And that they can trust in. That Holy Spirit that led Jesus into the wilderness, that Holy Spirit that anoints him, that Holy Spirit is there in their midst, and they know it. They've seen the blind now seeing. In their midst, there are people who have been poor but have heard good news. In their midst, there are people who are prisoners and slaves and know freedom. And maybe the poor in their midst are still poor, but they're also blessing others. And maybe the blind in their midst are still physically blind, but they've seen God in a new way. And maybe the slaves in their midst are still being told, slaves, obey your master, by Paul. But there's a freedom that they know, a freedom in Christ. Jesus teaches, and he says, the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Before the first worship service, we built this tower out of Legos. Kids, before the service, I invited those who came early to just come and build onto what was there. And then during the children's time, the children came and they added to this. And we had this huge, wonderful contraption and just Legos of every kind going in every direction. We were just having a ball building. But then we looked and we noticed that up high was the place where there was the door. And how do you get in through the door when it's up high? And we realized that was a problem to have a door up high. And one of them said, and the door needs to be on the Lego. Although they did have ideas about catapults. So you could put a catapult at the bottom of the tower and catapult people up into the tower and through the door. Jesus says there's good news for the poor. Where God's Spirit is, there is freedom, even for the slaves, those that no one else would welcome, for the Gentiles even. The door is not up high, that in Christ, and we broke the tower, that was the fun part, that in Christ the door is on the ground. The door is where we are, that all are invited to step in and be part of this household, this family, these children of God. I think that's part of what Jesus was saying when he talked about Elisha and Elijah, that there were Jews who were suffering from the famine. There were Jews with leprosy, but all along, God has been reaching out to Gentiles. Even Naaman, the Syrian enemy general, God has been reaching out to Gentiles and the enemy all along. This is a hard lesson. A hard lesson because what they want is a blessing. What they want is a blessing. And when Jesus talks about Gentiles who God sent prophets to heal, he has another word. You may want a blessing, but I need you to be a blessing. This community of Gentiles and the poor, tax collector, sinners, rejects. My guess is that like that town of Nazareth, they have a lot of unanswered prayers. They want Jesus. They want Jesus to heal their people, their families. They want Jesus to heal the blind in their midst, the lepers in their town, and he doesn't. And he doesn't. Isn't that natural to ask for prayers for our own? To ask for the prayers for the people that we love? And Jesus seems to be reaching out to Gentiles, to everyone, to everyone, and seems to be asking them to broaden their horizons. He may not be healing the people here in this hometown, but there is a broader picture, a bigger picture, in which everyone will know God's healing, in which God desires everyone to know God's salvation. And while it's natural to want your own to be healed, your own family, your own friends, as we pray almost every week, sometimes the unanswered prayer is how God brings healing and God brings blessing. This fall, I went through a day that was just miserable. If you had one of those, I used to read that story, Alexander and the terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day, to my children. I read them that story so they would know that no matter how horrible the day, there may be something good you can find, even if it's only tomorrow's going to be a new day. But I was feeling down. We'd done the Kiko summer worship, and there had been people who came from the church to the worship service, but I really hoped that there would be those who didn't feel comfortable coming into a church who would join us for worship out on the patio at Kiko's. And I was down on that, and I was just feeling sorry for myself that no matter how hard I worked, no matter how many loaves of bread I took to visitors, that no matter what I did, it just didn't seem to be working. And I was just full of pity. Ed knew I needed to get my mind off of myself, that release of the captive is sometimes release from those sturdy, stinking thoughts that go round and round. And so Ed suggested that we go for a walk. We started walking through the neighborhoods around here. And the whole time I'm just spouting and spewing. No matter what I do, nothing seems to bring people into the church, no matter what. And the phone does that noise of a message. You've got a message. And I check and it's a number I don't recognize. I don't see any messages in the history for that number. And it's someone who is saying, "Can I come to the church? Would you unlock the door so that I can come in and pray? I need a place to pray." Well, I ignore it for a minute because I wanted to keep on talking about how hard it is to get people to come to church. And then it does that 1 minute beep. You still haven't answered or officially looked at the message. And so I reply back, "I'm out on a walk. I'm near the church. I'll be there in about 10 minutes. So we walked over, and I didn't recognize the woman. She had my number, I think. I think I must have offered to bring her bread when she filled out her number on the Connect card. She needed to talk about what was going on at work. She needed to talk about the deaths in her family. She needed to talk, and she needed a place to pray. She needed someone to listen. And I shared with her how in those times of pain that I read that passage from Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And I shared with times with her of times when there have been unanswered prayer and yet God was there. And God saw me through that brokenness. And I don't know if the words that I said to her did any good to her. But I do know that the healing that I needed on that day was what I received in sharing with her and being present to her, in looking beyond my own unanswered prayer and looking instead, how can I bless? How can I be present to someone else? You know that, don't you? That it's the person who's lost a loved one who understands it's okay to talk and share when someone's mourning and grieving and knows how to sit and be present. You know that, don't you? That it's the person who's been through job loss who can share how hard it is to struggle in starting over. You know that, don't you? That it's the person that seems left behind at Nazareth. Jesus didn't answer our prayers. Who sometimes is able to be that blessing to others. What is it that he goes on and says two chapters later, to save your life, you have to lose it? Rather than listen and desire that blessing, to be a blessing, to give a blessing, to not only love our own and the people that it's natural to love, to remember that we have been loved sacrificially and be willing to love others in that same way. I forgot earlier to say the Lord's Prayer. But maybe now's a good time to say that prayer together. To say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And as we say this together, say, let my prayers be. How can I be a blessing? Let us pray the prayer that Jesus taught, saying, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.